Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's Chloe on time with coffee and breakfast for Jen.
Thank you. Yes.
Look, she even looked into the camera and gave a smile. I am her
she
wife and I love
you.
Her.
Yeah, she scowls at me.
She calls that work.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Just trying to think if I've done anything. It's really hard, isn't it, when you think about what you've done.
I was just thinking that when I was making coffee. I was like,
I keep spending money, which is very unlike me. I keep buying stuff for the cat. So I bought the cat a water fountain that lights up. I mean, the cat was quite happy to drink water from the saucer. I didn't need to buy a water fountain. She doesn't really go to the water fountain. So now I've got a water feature in my living room.
You've got a water feature?
Yeah, it's basically the...
Can I see it?
Oh, yeah, hang on.
I used to have one of those. It was like a waterfall. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Danny made me get rid of it, though, because he said it used too much energy.
I think Danny's probably right. I mean, don't tell Maureen, because she'll be absolutely appalled.
Yeah, I know that exact one. Maureen,
right.
It's lovely.
It's like a little fountainette Maureen just produced there where the cat can lick the water coming out of the fountain because they like to lick waters.
So in theory, cats are meant to like moving water. Anyway, No one's told Jamie this. So really glad I spent $15.99 on the plastic water fountain.
That's more than all of your dresses.
But yeah, oh yeah, I'd never spent that much on me. This top was $2.99.
That's more than her entire wardrobe. The thing is, the cat does still like moving water because she likes to stick her head in the toilet bowl, doesn't she?
Well, she looks in. I'm waiting for her to go in, but she kind of looks in. And then I also bought her a harness because I had this idea.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Because I go out in the garden, she gets very upset because obviously she always follows me around. But I don't want to leave. I don't want to let her in the garden because she's too small. And also we've got foxes. I don't want her to be foxes' dinner.
Yeah.
Takeaway. So I thought I'll get her a harness. And then I can take her outside, you know, with the leash.
Yes, yeah. Don't laugh. Yes, Maureen. Yes.
This is a very practical. Anyway.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I've got a harness, a size too big for her. Anyway, I put the harness on her. She wasn't happy. Within 2 seconds, she'd managed to get it off. I mean, it was quite impressive. She went on her back, just got rid of it.
She went, no thanks.
Fuck you, lady. Yeah.
Fuck you.
So I'm going to wait till she can't slip it off. But like, I'm very worried that she's going to, because before she, whenever I go to the back garden, she's now by the back door waiting and I don't want her to jump out. So anyway, so I've been buying stuff for the cat and I'm like, Maureen, just, I mean, I bought her nail clippers. I mean, I don't have nail clippers. Anyway.
Wait a second. What's a cat nail clippers look like? Can't you just use normal clippers?
I don't know. I just wear them.
Or scissors. I think we used to use.
Oh, you used to use only scissors?
Nail scissors. Yeah. No. Anyway, this is great.
Anyways, I keep spending money and it's really, really, it's so unlike me. So I bought this top. I keep going charity shopping. I've got to stop going charity shopping. It's just getting ridiculous now.
Well, I mean, we know that from last week. I mean, in fact, what I've noticed is that every week
I've got new clothes.
I've just been to the charity shop and bought 68 new items. Every time time you go to the charity shop, you find something that you like. I don't know many people that happens with for.
Well, last time, clearly somebody my size had died because there was loads of clothes my size.
Wow.
That is a very dismal way for us to look at it. Every time Maureen's got new items. Ooh. Oh.
Well, you see, one door closes, another door opens.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, Maureen. Definitely. I have to say that your new wardrobe is absolutely banging. Mm-hmm. And every time I see you, you are in a different dress.
Oh, yeah.
And you look great.
Yeah, I haven't shown them yet, but I bought 3 dresses for 26 quid in Stratford-upon-Avon. A really nice M&S, never been worn, tailored dresses.
Well,
that doesn't impress anyone. Oh, it impresses Alison.
No, that does. Yeah. That does impress me. That does impress me. I'm impressed.
That's her impressed face.
So what, guys, what have you been up to?
Oh, Alison, you go.
Okay. What have I been up to? Jen's putting me on the spot so she can think about what's been going on in her life.
I'm going to be really candid with the listeners. This is a pre-record, okay? So we're pre-recording it in advance. So what's happened is nothing's happened.
So we're trying to create.
I'm like, oh, I don't know, since the last time I spoke.
Me and Jen had dinner, didn't we, Jen? And you were slightly late because you fell asleep.
Oh, I mean, right. Okay, so that's the interesting anecdote. Maureen and I went for dinner and I was late. You see how you need to put a little bit more effort into those things, Maureen?
At least I've come up with something. What have you come up with?
It's not all I've been shopping today and Jen fell asleep. We've all got to try and up our game here a little bit. That's why I've turned to Alison. Alison, please, fill in the gap.
Oh, God, there's a lot of pressure now to be interesting, everyone. And I don't like that pressure. I keep saying this. I don't want to look, listeners, thank you so much. We're comedians. I won't talk about comedy all the time. But here's what I've realized. I think it's interesting as comedians. So I've been trying to come up with new jokes, which is a never ending battle. Yeah. And so I did some new material in front of audiences. Bless their hearts. Thank you so much for being patient. But I find it's hard because we are the only one of the few professions where, like, we have to immediately do this in front of people. Like, when we're working out our craft, we have to do it in front of people. It's so vulnerable, right? Like, a lot of artists can, like, take time, produce work, and then here you go, world. We're naked in front of them going, what about this? What about this? I just find it so... It's such a bizarre thing. Like, it's such it's so vulnerable. Yeah.
I quite like it.
I quite like it.
Well, I mean, I think you have to find a way to like it because it is the job.
Yeah.
And so you have to find something about it that you like. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way. I just mean that in a way that is an actual fact. Like,
as comedians,
we have to keep writing. Otherwise, we're doing, you know, what's the point? So I find that doing new material really keeps all the cylinders in my brain going. Do you know what I mean? It really puts me on edge.
The terror of it.
Yeah. And I'm not saying before I'm like, oh, I love it. But when I am, when I'm writing new material, I absolutely, everything is moving. All the cogs are whirring. And that period of time where I'm working up an hour is the time where you're probably almost at your best.
Because you're really...
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even though you might not be delivering your best. So I know that's a contradiction. So you're like, oh, well, that didn't get a laugh and that didn't get a laugh and no one went for that bit or whatever. But actually, as a performer and as a writer and as a creative person, that is when everything is going. And when you hit a little gold seam and a joke fires, it's worth it. And then you have now this precious, glowing piece of material that you can slot in that you look forward to in your set because it's new and shiny.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, it never fails. It's an absolute banker.
Because you have that energy behind it. You have that excitement yourself.
You have a completely different energy about it.
Yeah.
When you're delivering the same material over and over again, after a while, you rub the shine off it.
Yeah.
And it will disappear and it will die. And then maybe you can put it away in a little drawer in your brain and bring it back out in 3 or 4 years. So you've got to keep bringing out shiny stuff.
Yeah.
You have to. So try to find something about it that you're like, yeah. This is going to be exciting because I'm going to get a little shiny little bit of material out of this. And then that might be the motivator.
Yeah. Well, definitely.
Maureen's face.
No, because I walked away exactly that, thinking, oh God, it wasn't that many laughs. And you know, so, but you know, you do reflect and I go, oh, I can do that with that joke now.
It's never going to be that many laughs, Alison, because it's new.
It's new. So to those 40 people who came, thank you so much. You may not have laughed, but apparently, according to Jen, you got the best of me in that 35-minute period.
New material nights. People like them. If they understand what it is, they love to see somebody there with a notebook and there's some terror in their eyes trying stuff. And if it fails, they don't care. They're like, yeah, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
It's like looking behind the scenes, you know, like behind the camera. And
they saw my scenes behind it. Yeah.
And you know what? Good. I'm glad you're doing it. You got to do it. Because you've got to keep coming up with new material. It's the only way.
Yeah.
And also when people come to see you, they're so excited to see you. And then they come and see you. But if they come and see you again and it's the same stuff, they're like, okay, that's great. And then it's the same stuff again. They're like, yeah, I loved it. And then they come back, it's the same stuff again. They're like,
I brought a friend. I wish you would have done something a bit different.
I thought you might do something different today. You know, so you've got to like keep mixing it up. So, you know. It's shit, Alison, but also the end result's going to be absolute dynamite.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a pep talk for Alison.
Thanks, Jen. Public pep talk. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, look, what have I been doing? You're on tour, maybe? There we go. That's the nail on the head. When people say, I don't know why you don't enjoy going on tour, it's because you sacrifice every other part of your life, social life, family life, all of that it doesn't exist because you're in a car, on a train, in a hotel, at a service station, but you're not doing anything fun. It must be such a buzz when you get out on stage. Sure.
Yeah.
But
beyond that, the rest of it is unbuzz, no buzzing.
Beyond that, the buzz is low. Anyway, so I'm not going to add anything. There we go. That's it. It's okay, isn't it? We don't all have to have something to offer. Sometimes it's enough that Alison and Maureen have had weeks and I am there to support them. So let's just move forward into the ether, into the unknown, dare I say it, into a place no one ever wanted to return to, and yet we insist on doing it every week. It is time to find out what Maureen Younger's Be More Maureen moment is.
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Well, again, Jamie related. I had to go away for a couple of days and my neighbour looked after Jamie.
So, okay, I know what this one is.
Jen knows what the story is. So I thought I should be really nice and I was absolutely, I had loads of luggage because obviously I'd gone charity shopping in South Birmingham because I could hardly carry it I could hardly drag the thing, but I thought I must go to M&S on the way, buy some really nice Prosecco to give as a thank you. So even though I had really no room to carry anything and I was absolutely knackered, went in, bought some lovely Prosecco, the most expensive bottle there, because I'm feeling very generous, go home. Anyway, she knocks on the door to get the present. I was having a nap, as is my wont. So I went into the kitchen, got the wine, gave it to her. She didn't really thank me or anything. I was like, a bit odd. And then so I said, oh, I hope you enjoyed the wine. I hope you enjoyed the drink and everything. And she's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's fine. I was like, a bit weird. I thought she'd be quite happy about the Prosecco. And then I go into the kitchen again, open the fridge, and the Prosecco bottle is still there, which is a bit odd. And then I realised what I've given her is some cheap wine from Tesco's that you get with the meal deal, which is about 3 years old.
Absolute classic.
So she must have thought, what a cheapskate, because it's on the bottle, it goes something like
part of the meal deal.
Part of the meal deal. She must have thought, this is what she's given me, some like, and I'm going on like I'm giving her a big deal. Some cheap red wine that I've had for 3 years in my fridge. Anyway.
Why have you got red wine in the fridge?
I don't drink wine. I don't know. It was in the fridge. Anyway,
it came with the meal deal. It was the meal deal. So she bought it. It was only
wait a second. You don't drink wine. But on a meal deal, you chose to get wine. Yeah. And then you put the red wine in the fridge. Even though.
It might be rosé. I don't know. It was red. Anyway, it was red.
If it's red. In the fridge. If it's red, it's red wine.
Oh, yeah. It was
that's how it works.
You don't put red wine in the fridge.
You do, yeah.
Well, anyways, so basically I'd given her a cheap bottle of probably undrinkable wine that'd been in the fridge for about 3 years. So then I had to explain that wasn't what I was meant to give her.
Wait a second. You've had a bottle of red wine. And this is the thing that I'm just going to zone in on. You've had a bottle of red wine in the fridge for 3 years.
A long time.
No, I think it was in the cupboard before, but I wanted more room, so I put it in the fridge.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There's no need to unpack that. That's fine. So a bottle of wine that you're never going to drink, you've got no interest in drinking, that you ordered with a meal deal that you were never going to have. Firstly, why did you order a bottle of wine?
Because you've got to get a drink with the meal deal.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be an alcoholic drink.
I know. I just got it.
You just got it, right? Okay. And then you've hung on to that bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And then put it, for some reason, into your fridge to create more space. Do you know what would have created more space?
Throwing it away.
Throwing that bottle of wine that you're never going to drink ever.
She paid £3 for that, though. That's not.
You know
what?
It's so funny because I went over and gave him the prosecco, and he went, "Oh, do you want the other wine back?" And I went, "Oh no, you keep it."
They're like, "Are you sure?"
No, they don't want it. Not do you want this other wine back? Can you take whatever the fuck this is back? Knowing you, it's not 3 years. It's like
it could be 23 years,
and it's a bottle of Piador.
But maybe it's so old it's aged that it might be all right. I don't know. I'm trying.
Is that kind of wine, to be honest?
I don't think it's the wine that ages. I don't think it's the wine that you have to put in your cellar and not open for 20 years. I've got a feeling it's the kind of wine that it is now vinegar. But good. Good to hang on to it. Maybe you could have put it on your salad niçoise.
There we go. Oh, we're bringing back the niçoise.
Do you know what? It was so funny when I just saw the box. Prosecco's still here, and I was like, oh
that's why. Okay.
Simple mistake to make, Maureen. Simple mistake to make, isn't it, Alison?
Prosecco was rosé, you see. It was rosé prosecco.
All right, well, there's a bit more logic coming a little bit later. She was tired, she was delirious. Jen is looking at me like, don't stop defending all behaviors,
right? Yes. Was the red wine gotta go back to the red wine. You know, Prosecco's got like a kind of gold.
It's completely different. It was completely different bottle.
It's kind of diamondy.
Yeah.
So it's diamondy.
Like the glasses looks diamondy. It's a very nice bottle out for M&S. £14.50, in case you're wondering.
None of us were, but I like that we got that information.
£14.50, no less. For Maureen Younger there in a crystally bottle. So with a gold.
The bottle wasn't anything like the red wine.
No, the bottle wasn't the same. No.
But look, they're two bottles of.
But they're bottles.
Stuff.
They're bottles, aren't they? They are bottles. They're two bottles. They're lucky you didn't pull out, I don't know, a pint of milk or.
There was part of me that was like, what did they get? That like an apple juice that was a half opened apple bottle?
Yeah.
It was a bottle of wine. There's two
salad
bottles of wine,
cream
basically,
or something. Oh, here we go.
Maureen gave us mayonnaise.
No, it wouldn't be mayonnaise. Maureen doesn't do mayonnaise.
Oh. I do. I've got garlic mayonnaise in my, but it comes in a little jar.
Oh my God. You're tender. Who are you?
It's very cheap from Lidl. So that's why I've got it.
Right. Well, Maureen, it's an easy mistake at a maker, isn't it? Just to, you know, you've got two glass things in the fridge.
Exactly.
It could happen to anyone. And by anyone, I do mean exclusively you.
Well, Maureen, thank you for your Be More Maureen moment. I'm glad that you managed to give your neighbour the actual gift that you bought for them as opposed to whatever the fuck you've given them. I dread to think. I would love it if your neighbours could just take a photograph of the bottle, you know, just the and just so I can see what it is.
The differences in the two bottles. Yeah.
No, but I would just love to see what it is that you gave. Maureen Younger, thank you so much for your Be My Maureen moment. Let us now return to Alison. Alison June Smith, who is here to solve all of the advices of all of the people that have or need advice. It is time for all of us to sit back, relax, and ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Ah, well, thank you so much. Look, I decided to, I'm sharing my own problem, everyone. This is my own. So I wanted to do a little research for myself. So, you know, we go through times in our lives where we go through some tough things. I was back home, as you know, and I was dealing with some family stuff. And I had a lot of, it was a lot. It was a lot. And it was a lot of like things that came up quickly, immediate anxiety problems. So I thought, let's revisit. What are some things we can do to immediately stop some anxiety when we feel it coming on? All right. Some immediate stops. Cause I was like, I had some real moments where waves of anxiety came over and I was like, okay, I got to get some tools again to remind myself how to stop this from totally engulfing my everything. So a few things you can do immediately to stop anxiety attacks. Number one, diaphragmatic breathing. Oh my God. I'm
diaphragm
sorry.
Breathing from your diaphragm.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways to do this. You can do it where you take a deep breath and then as you exhale, you use your diaphragm as you exhale. Okay. So the diaphragmatic breathing. I know it sounds really silly, but when you focus on your breathing, another one is counting breathing. Five counts in, inhale, seven counts out. Why is this effective? Because when you're focusing on numbers and breathing, A, you're controlling the breath in your body. You're making things run a bit smoother. You're not giving yourself shortage of breath, which is a lot of times what causes an anxiety attack. Also, you're focusing on the numbers. So you're not in your head thinking about whatever it is that's about to bring on that waving anxiety. You're thinking about the numbers. That really helps. Simple stretches. I liked this. I'm not talking like body stretches because sometimes you're in a public space. These are in your mouth stretches. So gently press the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth and your jaw will often fall open and relax on its own. Tilt your head forward and roll it around slowly. These are just some things you can do. Eyebrows, lifting the eyebrows. Literally, it's kind of face stretches. I know it sounds silly, but apparently if you focus on this, this also helps with a little bit of anxiety. Why? Again, because you're drawing your attention to something else. Also, face exercises, easy to do if you're in a crowded place. Just look away. I mean, don't look someone directly in the eye as you are touching the top of your mouth with your tongue and rolling your head. I don't know. Maybe do that on the Victoria train. It'll keep the bed bugs away. All right. Use your words. Ask yourself, describing the feelings verbally. Ask yourself the questions. What emotion am I feeling right now? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it rage? Why am I feeling this way? Is it because of something that's already happened or something that is I'm afraid might be happening? Or ask yourself some questions. What exactly am I panicking about right now? What is happening? What am I worrying about? Is it something right now or is it something else? Giving yourself a little check-in moment. Have a little chat with yourself, especially if you're on your own. Do it out loud. Do it out loud. It's okay. What am I freaking out about? And answer yourself. It's okay. Do that. Sometimes it helps you to get out of your head. Guided imagery. This is another one. People love this. Think about a time and a place where you were your most happy, your most relaxed. I've heard people talk about snorkeling. I have a friend who she always goes back to the best snorkel adventure she ever had. And she thinks about being in that water and the fish. Think about a place and a time you were where you were like, that was peaceful for me. and literally put yourself in there. Imagine the sky. Imagine the wind. Think of those things. Guided imagery. Why does it work? Because your body will begin to respond. Your brain doesn't know that you're not there if you really create it, and you will literally put your body back in that space. Music. If you got some music that'll help you shake yourself out of it, make a mix right away. This is the music I'm going to put on. This is the song I'm going to listen to that reminds me to put me back into the place that I want to be, right? It's kind of a trigger for yourself. So get into a music playlist. You're going to love this one, Maureen, and I'm a big fan of this. My mom has always taught me this. Take a fucking nap. Are you about to take a nap? Things always look better when you wake up. That fresh start. I mean, try to monitor your naps. You don't want to be napping for 4 hours a day. But take a nap. Sometimes you just need to, like, check out, come back in. If you're at home, I want to recommend this, a weighted blanket, everyone. Sometimes you just need to sit on the couch and pull up a weighted blanket. It kind of feels like a hug. And for some people, it really helps physically with an anxiety attack. So get yourself a weighted blanket if you haven't tried that. Massages. There's some, I saw some articles about hand massages, quick little things that you can do to help to relax. Google anxiety hand massages. There are a lot of things out there that you can do quickly that will help you. Write yourself a letter, okay? If you're in a moment where you're really freaking out, write yourself a letter, talk yourself down, keep that letter. So when you get into that state again, you can read the letter and go, right, this is what I need to remember. These are the things. Or maybe write a letter when you're not panicked. Write a list of all the things that you love, why you're not panicked, the state that you're in right there, and read that letter to yourself when you're in a state of anxiety. And the last thing I want to say is move. Shake. I'm watching a lot about shaking and like grounding your feet. And like people say dance, but maybe you're not a dancer. Shaking your body and swaying can sometimes actually release a lot of the tension. And there's an actual term for it. I can't remember right now because, again, everyone, I'm not a professional. but a lot of people, it's stomatic exercises. I think that's what you say. A lot of it has to do with shaking, moving, stretching, releasing your hips. That's a big thing. A lot of people keep their tension in their hips. So moving. Those are my first immediate things that I think you can do if you're getting into an anxiety moment. They have helped me, and I really recommend them. Everyone, give some of these a go. It will help. It doesn't solve it all, but it'll slow it down. Yeah.
I found for me, it was doing jigsaws, knitting, crosswords, because you're in the moment. Because when you've got anxiety, you're not in the moment. You're either in the past or in the future.
Yeah.
So if you do things, you've got to kind of concentrate on them. Then you can't think about the other things and going down wormholes. So yeah. They're quite good. Jigsaws, knitting, crosswords.
Well, they're all in that same sort of headspace of like being meditative, aren't they? If you're like, oh, I don't think I could do meditation, or you find that sort of thing difficult, then you can find a pastime that helps to create that, like you did, Maureen. And also, I think you went out, and I think that whole thing that you were saying, Alison, about moving, getting your body moving, for me, that is a big part of sorting out my anxiety when I have. You'll be unsurprised to hear that we all have anxiety on WTB.
I know we all seem very level-headed and together at all times.
I don't know. Spoiler! But for me, I feel like my instinct when I have anxiety is to stay in and just like get all feral.
And that's most people's.
Go under the covers and just get sad and like just. But the second I force, and I do mean force myself to do something physical, and for me it's better it doesn't have to be outside, but for me it works better if I am outside, even if I just physically go for a walk. I find walking really helpful for me, or obviously swimming is good for me. Then that completely changes my mindset for that time. I'll come back when I get home and I'll feel completely different to how I was feeling before I left. So you've got to find the thing that works for you. But all of those are really great advices, Alison. Got to find the one that fits your personality or fits your mood or whatever it is that you've went or your version of anxiety.
Yeah.
But
inaction is worse than action, and your instinct is inaction, and it is so hard to drag yourself into action. But if you can, and even if it's just that you're standing still and you just move up and down and you just jog your body up and down and you move your head around and you do those sort of smaller exercises that Alison was suggesting, just to get you out of it, to start thinking about doing something else. And obviously music and all the other things are great to help lift your mood. But Alison, thank you for your advices. Also, I don't know, have a listen to WTB.
Hey, join your three best friends and come and sit.
As a little distraction for you. And you can hang out with other anxiety-ridden women. And it'll be cathartic for you.
You're not alone.
Exactly. You are definitely not alone. Alison.
She's really singing.
I am here with you.
We're going to have to cut that out. We can't do that, can we? We're not allowed to have. Yes. Sorry. Okay. I know.
Cut that bit out. Yeah.
We can. That's just for me.
Damn you. I wanted to join in, but I was like, we're not allowed. We can.
I think we can do 20 seconds. Anyway.
Alex's timing.
Alex is looking at his non-watch going, I think it's actually...
Yeah, that was more... You're done. Done.
Alison, thank you very much for your advice. I hope that helped our listener. I really do.
That's me. I'm the listener. It helped me.
Oh, it is you.
Yeah,
it's you.
This is my problem. I was like, it's me. I was helping me. That was
you're
the selfish one.
You.
I was helping me. Yeah. Oh, sometimes we need to do that, everyone. Help yourself. Oh, I did it.
Do you know what? You did say that at the end. By the time we got to the end, I was like, well, there's obviously somebody else involved here. No, it's just Alison.
Just me.
But don't worry. It's not just you, Alison, is it?
No.
Fuck knows.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Okay, thank you very much, Alison, for your help. And assistance to all, including yourself. But it is that time where we must revert back to the week or two that we have spent in front of the television trying to, well, manage our own anxiety. What have we been watching?
Well, I watched something on Now TV, which Catherine the Great, which features Helen Mirren as Catherine the Great of Russia. I have to say, Helen Mirren's great. I mean, she can play this role with ease. I do think it's history made for idiots, though.
It's a bit like the Tudors, isn't it?
It's not as bad as the Tudors. That would be quite an achievement. But I did find it quite funny because I watched the thing where it said because Helen Mirren is off Russian stock, and it went, oh, Helen Mirren is going back to her Russian roots. I thought that's interesting because Catherine the Great was German. But anyway.
But also, you said something interesting. They kept referring to Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Germany doesn't exist.
Germany doesn't exist. So at one point, they went, the German ambassador. And I was like, I must have heard that wrong. And then they went, the German ambassador. And it was like, Germany as a country did not exist in Catherine the Great's time.
Oh, I love
it. I think they may have meant the Prussian ambassador. But they probably thought, oh, Prussia sounds a lot like Russia. People will get confused and they will just call it Germany. Even though Germany as a country was non-existent for like 100, it didn't come until about, I think, 1860s. But so that was like, why are you talking about the German ambassador? It doesn't make any sense. And it really concentrates really on her love life with Potemkin, General Potemkin, who's a great Russian general. You know, Catherine the Great was an amazing woman. She was German. She kind of got rid of her husband and took power, which, you know, as a woman, as a foreigner, to do that in Russia, I mean, that is quite impressive. Not only to take power, but to hold it. And she expanded the Russian Empire. So I think it was under her. I don't know that much about Catherine the Great, but I think she expanded. She took Crimea. I think she was also involved in splitting up Poland, because Poland disappeared off the map for about 150 years between Austria, Prussia and Russia. So I've been to where she was born, in Szczecin, in Poland. They don't really celebrate her that much for obvious reasons, because thanks to her that Poland disappeared. But yeah, I mean, she did a lot. But perhaps this is before Helen Mirren can play her, because you know, Helen Mirren can only play her at a certain age. And so you don't really get that. You don't really get all the stuff that she did. I mean, the fact that she managed to take power and keep it as a woman and as a foreigner in Russia. I mean, I lived in the Soviet Union for a bit. And honestly, it was not in the vanguard of the feminist movement back then, even. It's quite an achievement. But I mean, look, the costumes look great. Helen Mirren is fantastic. But it is a bit of a
stretch.
Comedy, I think, a history for idiots. A bit of a stretch, yeah.
I suppose it's just... I suppose it's just like a glitzy drama, isn't it? And they've just used Catherine the Great almost as a vehicle to have this sort of big...
Yeah.
Yeah, because Helen Mirren is the executive producer. I mean, it is, you know, she is a great... Her story is a great story, but I think it does concentrate really on the fact... I mean, and that was how she was denigrated, because she apparently did have a lot of lovers. And the story about her was that she died making love... Well, under a horse, which is obviously absolute bullshit. But it's a way of denigrating women, isn't it? That you just...
Yeah.
Kind of forget all her achievements and people just concentrate on that. So
Yeah, it's so reductive. And, you know, the fact that
that story,
that ridiculous story still continues to this day is a testament to,
to misogyny.
All of our internalised misogyny. But would you recommend it just like as a puff piece?
Yeah, I mean, it's a puff piece. Helen Mirren is great in it.
So it's a distraction. You know, it's fun
spectacle. It's good looking. It's pretty.
Yeah, great costumes. Great
I've seen
sets.
Clips of it, and the costumes look incredible. Like they've obviously spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, you know, it's well done. But I don't know. I don't know that much. I never studied that period of Russian history. I don't know that much about Catherine the Great. But I
no, I don't.
I suspect if I did, I'd probably be a bit more annoyed because of the Tudors. I know the Tudor history really well. I was really like, whar.
Oh yeah, I mean yes, because we all studied it at school, didn't we? That was like the obligatory.
But yeah, but I mean that was the one thing that I picked up on was like German ambassador. Anyway, so yeah, okay, from a country that didn't exist for another 100 years. But anyway, but yeah, that was my bit. What have you been watching, Jen?
Well, I haven't really been watching a great deal. Well, I certainly haven't been watching anything that I feel the need to recommend. I have been listening for a while now to a podcast, which I'd love to recommend. I'm sure lots of people that listen to our podcast are already listening to it because I think it's one of the most popular political podcasts in this country anyway. And it's The Rest Is Politics, and it's got Alistair Campbell, who was the communications and strategy advisor to Tony Blair during the time that Tony Blair was prime minister in this country. And it also has Rory Stewart, an ex-Tory cabinet minister. And you're probably thinking, but Jen, you don't like Tories. And you'd be absolutely right. I don't. Turns out I do like this one. I think he is very measured. He's very erudite, intelligent, empathetic. Certainly don't. In the Venn diagram of things that we disagree on, it's actually a lot smaller than I thought. Mm. It's almost a bit of me that's beginning to think Rory Stewart might not be a Tory.
Or maybe you are a Tory, Jen.
Oh, God forbid. But anyway, they have they talk about the politics of the week or of the day. They will then have an extra episode if something big has happened, like for example Liz Truss crashing the economy, or the resignation of Boris Johnson, or more recently with what's been happening in Israel and Palestine. And it's I didn't think I would like Alistair Campbell either. And I really do. I really do.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. I know neither you nor I know Alison, you and Maureen don't really listen to podcasts, but I think if Maureen did listen to podcasts, which she doesn't.
I listen to our podcast.
That is the only one I don't listen to. then you would enjoy this one. And it's quite interesting because what they'll do is they'll take something that's happening somewhere. And it might be a part of the world that you're like, I don't really know anything and I don't really care. Like they'll take Armenia, what's happening in Armenia at the moment, or what's happening in what's happening to the Kurdish people, or and then it's usually Rory Stewart will give you a potted history of what has happened. So there's been loads of bits of sort of I suppose international, European and sort of Middle Eastern politics, which I don't know anything about, and. You'll suddenly he'll go right in like 3 minutes he'll give you out this is the backstory and you're like oh bloody hell I didn't know that. More recently, if you don't really understand what's happening in Israel or Palestine, then there is an episode where Rory Stewart gives a little potted history of Gaza and like it will literally take 4 or 5 minutes of your time to listen to and he'll go This is the history of how Israel was created, why it was created, what's been happening in Palestine, why the people in Gaza are trapped, what's happening in the West Bank. And then you'll go, oh, right, OK, it's not done in a this is right and they're wrong or they're wrong and they're right and they're wrong. It's just this is where we're at.
The factual history, this is what has happened.
This is the factual history of how we got to where we are. And I think a lot of the time when we're watching what's happening on the news is we don't understand what's happening in the Middle East.
Yeah.
We don't understand what's the plight of the Palestinian people. We don't understand why Israel was created. And we don't understand why Israelis need that security, but also why Palestinians need their security and equal rights and not to live under apartheid and all of that. There's a lot of things to take into consideration because it isn't their right and their wrong. It's like a very complicated mess. But I really found that particular episode was helpful. There is also an episode where Rory Stewart pretty much goes into what happened with the war in Iraq with Alistair Campbell. And it's a very interesting episode of Rory Stewart interviewing Alistair Campbell as to why Tony Blair's government decided that they would go to war with Iraq, despite the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And the whole reasoning behind it. And it helped to then humanise their decision, which I've always had a problem with. It's an interesting thing. You know, we all want to say, this person's a wanker and this person's a good person. I do it. Like, you're right, you're wrong, you're good, you're bad. And it's just so much more complicated than that, as we can see over and over again.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a really interesting podcast. And also they're very entertaining, you know. But also I'm a person that loves hearing about politics. Like that's my jam. I know it's not everybody's, but even if you wanted to just handpick a couple of episodes just for like, I just want to get a grip of this particular subject, you can literally scroll through and find an episode where you go, I'd love to know what's going on in the Middle East. I'd love to know what's going on in Northern Ireland or whatever. And they will be able to give you a little history. I'd love to understand what happened with the Gulf War or in the war in Iraq. I'd love to understand, what's the deal with Rupert Murdoch? Why does everyone always wanging on about him? Do you know what I mean? It'll just...
Yeah.
It's a very interesting and I find it highly addictive podcast to listen to. And I even enjoy going back and listening to stuff that... Like, I went back and listened to stuff because I didn't start listening to it until after the whole thing with Liz Truss happened. And I went back and listened to that episode and I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Remind me again, what's the name of it again, Jen? Because I'm...
The Rest is Politics.
Yeah, great. I'm going to...
And they also have an episode, which is Question Time, where they take questions from people that listen to the podcast. And I also find that really interesting as well. So, and also because you've got a Tory and you've got a lefty, it's... You're getting a bit more of a broad perspective. Although I would say that Rory Stewart is a very old school One Nation Tory. He's not a Tory. He's not a Conservative. Hence why he resigned from the government. He's not a new conservative. He's not one of those dreadful new conservatives. He's an old school. He's an old boy Tory. So that would be my recommendation. If politics is up your street, or if, you know, even if it's not, check it out. The Rest is Politics. I highly recommend it.
Awesome. I want to look that. Now, the horror recommendation, let's go again off into ridiculous nonsense after we've discussed actual affairs of the world. Anxiety. We were talking about anxiety. I know I've said this one before, but I think this movie is so good if you're an anxiety-ridden person. Because they say sometimes when you watch horror movies, it helps to release anxiety as well, right? Because you're putting yourself into a state and then there's release and it's not about your whatever is getting in your brain. So I'm going to recommended it before. I will recommend it again. Cabin in the Woods is the horror movie that I'm recommending for anxiety. Why? This movie is great. So if you haven't seen the movie, okay, here we go. I'll just read a brief little. In the woods, five friends unknowingly summon a family of murderous zombies and inadvertently become involved in a ritual of human sacrifice held to please cruel subterranean deities. Okay, so basically, deities. Basically, this movie, these kids are basically they get put into something that is like, it's an experiment and they are forced to face a whole bunch of their fears and anxieties. That's why this movie is all about anxiety, because it's like, oh my God, what would you do in this situation? And it's insane. And it's like, yeah, it's a little gory, but I think it's more like the pressure, anxiety. I just think Cabin in the Woods, if you haven't seen it and you're a horror fan at all, you like a little bit of teen ridiculousness, go for Cabin in the Woods. I can't recommend it enough. I think it's a great horror movie. It brings together thrills.
It's got a great cast.
It's got a great
Bradley
cast.
Bradley Whitford. I love. It's got Richard Jenkins. It's got Chris Hemsworth. Oh, if you want a bit of eye candy.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it looks like it would be. Yeah,
it's a great film. It's a great film, everyone. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. As are all of my recommendations.
We expect that from you, Alison.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she's. I mean, guys, give it a go. This is a horror movie I would recommend to everyone.
Great. So that's Cabin in the Woods, which came out in 2011.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to look, Chris Hemsworth is going to look even younger and hotter, I imagine.
Super hot. And there's a lot afterwards. There's more than one Cabin in the Woods. I like the first one. Start with the original, I always say.
Well, it gets 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. So you...
Wow.
You there can't you go wrong there.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure where you get it, but I imagine
it's out there.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
That would be my guess. Yeah.
Let's just say Amazon Prime, because that sounds about right. Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation. That is tippity top top, tippity tip tap top. But now it is time to return to Maureen Younger and her corner, which has had something put in it. What is it? Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, it's going to be... Memories! It's going to be... I'm in a very singing mood. Considering what's going on in the world, I've chosen war novels. Because what better time to read?
Let's get into some wars.
About war. So the first is actually three for the price of one, the Regeneration trilogy.
I love these.
But have you read all three? I've only read one. We did one for book club.
I recommended them to you.
Oh, was it you that recommended them? Pat Barker.
It's unusual that I recommend Maureen something and she actually looks at it.
That is true, actually.
This may be the only time. Every time I've ever reckoned to Maureen, she's like, no.
We did read the first one for book club, and it features Siegfried Sassoon and Wilfred Owen, who are obviously very famous British war poets, as two of the characters. And it looks at, I think, not I think, I know, the details of the consequences of a conflict, which obviously decimated a whole generation, and the effect it had on these people. Sigurd Sassoon was famously, he basically wrote a letter saying how the war was pointless, and because he was so famous, they couldn't actually do anything with him, and they just put him in a mental hospital. So that's I've got the other two books. I haven't read them yet, but the first one was very, very good. Another one, this is from a very famous German anti-war novel, All Quiet on the Western Front by Erich Maria Remarque. You've seen the film of that, haven't you, Jen?
Yes.
All Quiet on the Western Front, which is, it's a classic. In fact, the Nazis banned the book and the film.
Ha.
They absolutely hated it. And Erich Maria Remarque had to flee Germany, and they actually executed his sister. They beheaded her, and they think partly because they couldn't get to him. And it's written in the first person by a young German soldier, Paul Bauer, who's kind of, he's very young teenager, and him and his friends are kind of join, you know, they're all patriotism. They think war's going to be fun. It's going to be like how it is in the books. And they join enlist as soldiers in the First World War, and they soon realise it's not like the books at all and how horrific the First World War is. Another book which I've read, which is a really good book, Testament of Youth by Vera Brittain, who was the mother of Shirley Williams, who was a very big MP in Britain. And basically it talks about her life. And she was she grew up during the First World War. And in the process, she lost every man that she loved. Her brother, her lover, you know, friends, they all got killed in the First World War. And she was a nurse, and she just talks about, you know, what happened. And it's a very moving book. And they made a really good TV series of it in 1979 with Cheryl Campbell. I don't know if you can see that. And in 2014, there was a film. Actually, it was a very good film. Alicia Vikander and Kit Harington were in it. Testament of Youth. It's worth reading.
That's a movie as well now, isn't it?
Yeah, with Kit Harington and Alicia Vikander.
With Kit Harington, yeah. That's got, the soundtrack is by Max Richter. It's a very beautiful soundtrack, actually.
Oh,
if you
is it?
Want to check that out. Anyway, that's by the by. But it's a very beautiful sort of strings. And because it's all about, you know,
loss,
young love and lost love. And yeah.
But can you imagine every man that you love is lost.
It's just, oh, I can't.
You know, one by one, they're all killed.
Horrific. Horrific. Yeah.
You know, and just you awful. Come from Edwardian society, which was, you know, they had no, you know, it was all very, you know, she's from quite a well-off family. She's going to, I think, Oxford, which is quite, you know, unusual. You know, and then your life gets totally turned upside down. It's it's worth reading. It's a very good book. And then another famous book, this is by American, Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut. I've read that.
I haven't read that, but I've read another Kurt Vonnegut, and I found it really hard work.
Really?
I don't know that I got into.
But anyway, those are my recommendations for if you want to read about war.
If I want to.
If you want to read about war. I mean, and also there's classics like War and Peace and stuff like that. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no.
There's a lot of war novels. There's a lot of war novels to choose from. Let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, if that's your bag, don't worry. In fact, I think there's a whole area in every bookshop which is dedicated to the war. Anyway, thank you, Maureen Younger, for your war for your cultural corner is what I wanted to say.
War recommendations. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, let's recommend this war. No.
Well, speaking of wars, there's wars within ourselves. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes things anger us, which brings us to our favorite part of the show. Jen, what the hell's getting your goat this week?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. I don't think I've got one. I was trying to think about things that have been getting my goat. And do you know what? I feel a little bit more zen this week. Am I allowed to be a bit zen Jen?
Yes, you are allowed to be zen Jen.
Yeah. Also, I think it's as I get older and because I'm so tired, that there are opportunities for me to completely lose my rag, and I've just not had the energy to do it.
What? Not with me, I've noticed.
Well, then you can only imagine how bad it would have been, Maureen. Because I have levelled a great deal of restraint.
Is that the key then? Does exhaustion cause peace?
I'm just thinking, if everyone was as knackered as I am, I don't think there'd be any war.
So exhaustion is the key.
Yeah. We'd all acknowledge that war is stupid. I don't want to have to quote Boy George and start singing Culture Club. Maureen, join in if you know the words.
I don't actually.
Don't you know the one that goes, war is stupid and people are stupid and love means nothing. And
oh, yeah, I do.
Absolutely. That wasn't one of their big hits, actually. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I've never heard it, but I actually like it.
What was that group that did the one? Oh, they were really famous for a while. The Liverpool group.
Oh, great. You know, they did I can't wait to find out.
The war thing. They did the war song.
Oh, the war thing.
Relax, Don't Do It. They sang Relax, Don't Do It.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They did a war anti-war
song. How have you forgotten for Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Oh, it says the woman who forgets her own pyjamas.
Just throwing down there.
and she hasn't got a goat this week.
I mean, Miss Angela, how can you forget that, Maureen? Fuck,
do you know
hell.
What? I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, you've got to come up with a goat. And I hadn't. This morning, I was like, think of a goat. And I thought, by the end of the episode, doesn't matter, I'll have one. Maybe my goat is not having a goat.
Yeah, but you're not upset about that. I actually am happy that you don't
two
have anything
tribes,
to be...
Two tribes go to war.
When two tribes go to war. The two tribes... Go to war.
20 seconds. Go to war. Alex was into that one. Alex has changed.
That was a banger, actually, Maureen, when two tribes go to war, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. So there was Relax, Don't Do It, when two tribes and the power of love.
Oh, the power of love is lovely.
I mean, the power of love.
Gorgeous song. Yeah.
The power of love is a beautiful song. Alex, are you aware of this song?
It's before his time.
The power of love. Oh, my God, Maureen. What the hell was that? I thought you were about to throw up. Alison, how do you feel about that? I was actually scared. You know, like Alien when it comes out of your chest. When as Maureen headed towards the camera, it's like, oh, I think she's gonna. Ah! Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.